I just came from our membership class. Every other month we have a class for those who have recently joined our church and people who are considering joining our church, and I speak to them for about 30, 40 minutes. Depends on how active the crowd is. If they're active, I talk longer. We had a good time in there this morning. And one of the things I like to do in that class is to share my own testimony of when I came to know the Lord. Best thing that ever happened to me happened whenever I was 7 years old. And that's when I asked Jesus to come into my heart and be my Savior. And I get to share that with them, but also get to share with them how God called me to preach. And as I was talking to them this morning, I was reminded that God called me to preach on June the 9th, 1968. And so today is, what, June the 5th. And so almost, to be, I guess, this coming Thursday, 54 years ago that God called me to preach. And so I'm very blessed to be able to preach that long. And I was thinking about that because of what I'm doing this summer, as I'm preaching some of my favorite messages. And I think I said last Sunday morning that what I'd do is I'd preach some of my favorite messages over the last 25 years. Well, this morning, this sermon was first preached longer ago than that. As a matter of fact, the message that I'm going to share with you this morning is a message that I preached for the very first time in 1990. I was pastoring the First Baptist Church in Anadarko, Oklahoma at that time. And actually, there was a lady who went with me to Israel back when I took a group in the early part of May. And while we were in Israel, she said to me, she said, "I can never read Ezekiel chapter 37 without thinking of the Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church to this very day." And so that's been over 30 years ago. I preached it for the very first time. And then I preached this message. I was privileged to preach the annual sermon at the Baptist General Convention of Oklahoma. And I preached this sermon there to the messengers and pastors who were at that service. And so today, I want you to open your Bible to Ezekiel chapter 37. I want to read 10 verses of scripture to you today and a message that I call the Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church. And I want to ask you to join me in standing as I read the text this morning. Over in the Old Testament prophet named Ezekiel, chapter 37. Ezekiel was one of those unusual pastors. He preached a lot. He had a lot of visions. He had a lot of visual aids. I've sometimes said Ezekiel was probably the first children's pastor, because if you're going to preach to children, you better have some visual aids. And so he was very demonstrative in the way that he preached the Word of God. But in chapter 37, it's one of the classic texts in all the Word of God. I want you to follow along as I read, beginning in verse 1 of Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel said, "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews of the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came in into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Would you pray with me, please? Father, today, thank you so much that you brought us to this place. Thank you that we've been able to worship you through music. And now, Father, we come to worship you through your word. And I pray that you would take these verses of scripture today and that you will use them to speak to our hearts. God, I pray that you would stir our church. God, I pray you'd cause revival to fall upon us today. Father, I pray that at the close of this service that there will be a stirring among your people. And so, Lord, we pray today that you would be with our folks who are meeting in the membership class. And I pray, God, that you'll speak to their heart. And Lord, I pray you'll gather with us here in this room. Have your way in our lives, for I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want to introduce to you this morning the Drybone Valley Baptist Church. My text today was written by a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. Ezekiel lived in a day of hopelessness. The nation of Israel was a nation that had been divided between the northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. It was now a nation that had been defeated. Both the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom had fallen. And it is a nation that has been dispersed. They have gone away from their homeland. It was a very difficult day for God's people. As a matter of fact, I did not read verse 11 of my text, but in chapter 37, verse 11, I think it summarizes the despair of their day. Because in verse 11, he said, "Our bones are dried and our hope is lost." What a tragic thing to say. Our hope is lost. Absolute hopelessness. But in the midst of that despair, God took his prophet by the hand and carried him out into a valley and showed to him a vision of dry bones. Whenever you look at the story, it is a vision of death. It is a vision of decay. But yet at the same time, because God was speaking to his prophet, it is also a vision of power and of possibility. And if you know your Bible, you know that both practically and prophetically, it was a vision of the restoration of the nation of Israel. God was saying to his folks who were hopeless, there's going to come a day whenever I will breathe new life back into the land of Israel, and you will once again be in the promised land. But for you and I today, I want to use that same passage of scripture and use it as a message for revival. What is revival? It is a stirring of God's people that causes them to become active for God. It is a great need that we have in our day today. So I want to introduce to you the Drybone Valley Baptist Church. When I spoke to the Baptist Convention there in Oklahoma, I said to them that this actual Drybone Valley Baptist Church is a typical Southern Baptist church. It has about 250 members. It has an average attendance on Sunday morning of probably less than 100. They give about $2,758 every year through the cooperative program. They baptize probably somewhere between 3 and 5 people every year. It is a conservative church. It is a cooperative church, but it is a church that is in desperate need of revival. And lest I say forget today, I want to tell you, our Southern Baptist Convention is in need of revival. We are in need of a move of God in our convention today. And I won't go into all that today, but I simply say to you today that whenever I hear the report that was given a couple of weeks ago now by the Sexual Abuse Task Force that was brought to our convention and made public, whenever I read that report, I was both sad and mad and glad all at the same time. I was sad because of those who have been abused, those who had come to church, to a place of safety, a place of shelter, and yet they have been sexually abused. That makes me very, very sad. My heart is still heavy today because of that, and it ought to cause the heart of every Southern Baptist to be sad. But I also say that I was mad, and I apologize for that, but evidently from the report, there were some people who knew about it and who did nothing about it and had the power to do something about it. And so whenever I think about that, that makes me mad. But I also said I was glad, and you may have trouble with that, but the reason why I'm glad is because now that it has been known, we can do something about it. And I'm going to tell you, we ought to do something about it. We can do better. We better do better. And I think we will do better. And I will say to our church that we want this to be a place where people can come and feel safe and secure, a place for ladies and a place for children, where we're doing everything that we can to keep them safe. We've done much, but I will tell you this, we can do more. And we will do more in light of the recent report. And so whenever I think about our convention, you can give the Lord a hand. We want the Lord to work. This is a typical church. As a matter of fact, while I'm on this today, there have been some discussions in recent years, as some of you probably know, to change the name of our Southern Baptist Convention. There have been those, for various reasons, who feel like we ought to change the name. One of the names that has been suggested is that we change our name to the Great Commission Baptist rather than Southern Baptist. Whenever I think about that, I look at what's happening in the Southern Baptist Convention. As a matter of fact, if you go to the Southern Baptist Convention website, if you go to sbc.net, you will find that it says on there, we are Great Commission Baptist. I think the truth is, we are not Great Commission Baptist. Like most mainline denominations, Southern Baptist Convention, our membership has been declining every year. We have had problems with reaching people the way we ought to. As a matter of fact, listen to this. There has also been reported that 1/4 of Southern Baptist churches report 0 baptisms a year. In an entire year, 1/4 of our Southern Baptist churches report 0 baptisms. I don't understand how we could change the name to Great Commission Baptist if we're not doing better than that. We're baptizing less today than we have in previous years. I know some people say, well, we shouldn't call ourselves Southern Baptists because we're not all from the South, okay? I would say to you, I'd rather be called a Southern Baptist and not really be from the South than to be called a Great Commission Baptist and not really obey the Great Commission. And so what I want to talk to us about today is the great need in our convention, and that is a revival of our churches. And I don't know of a better message to talk to you about than the Drybone Valley Baptist Church. I want you to take your Bible, keep it open there in our text in Ezekiel chapter 37. And I want to say to you a few things about this church. I want to first of all give you a description of the church, a description of the Drybone Valley Baptist Church. And it's found in verses 1 and 2 of my text. I want to say 3 things to help us describe that church. Number 1, it was a dead church. It was a dead church. Whenever Ezekiel was taken by the hand and taken to that valley, the Bible says he saw a valley full of death. He saw the remains of the bodies that had been slain. And the Bible says, evidently, all the flesh had been either eaten away or had been decayed, but somehow all of the flesh was gone, and what he saw was bones. There was no life. It was only death. And I will say to you today, the first description of the Drybone Valley Baptist Church, it is a dead church. Somebody said, well, can churches really be dead? Well, I guess so, because in Revelation chapter 3, Jesus Christ, who's the great physician, wrote to the church at Sardis, and he said these words. He said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. And I will submit to you that if Jesus Christ, the great physician, if he does an autopsy on a church and he says that church is dead, that church is dead. It is possible for a church to be a dead church. I remember the story I heard from one pastor who said that when the Lord Jesus Christ returns from glory and he calls his church home, he said, my church will be the first church caught up to glory, because the Bible says the dead in Christ shall rise first, and I pastor the deadest church on the planet. Oh, it's possible to be a dead church. I heard of another church where somebody was sitting in a service like this, and there was a man who actually died during the service. The paramedics were called. They came to the church. They carried out four deacons before they found the man who had actually died. It is possible for a church to be a dead church. And the Bible says this was a dead church. How can you tell a dead church? Well, years ago, I took some of this from someone else, and then I added a little bit myself. How can you tell the difference between a live church and a dead church? Here it is. Live churches plan for the future. Dead churches live in the past. Live churches dream God's dreams. Dead churches relive nightmares. Live churches care about people. Dead churches care about programs. Live churches sing from the heart. Dead churches sing from the hymnal. Live churches study the Bible. Dead churches study the quarterly. Live churches care about the truth, while dead churches are concerned about tradition. Live churches are filled with noisy kids. Dead churches are more like a funeral home. Live churches are filled with tithers. Dead churches are filled with tippers. Live churches will always evangelize. Dead churches will tend to fossilize. It is possible to have a dead church, and the Bible says the Drybone Valley Baptist Church was a dead church. That's the first word to describe them. Secondly, not only were they a dead church, the Bible also says they were a divided church. Whenever Ezekiel saw that valley of dry bones, evidently these bones had been separated, because when you get down to verse 7, the Bible says there, so the bones came together. I don't know that maybe the birds or maybe the wild animals had separated them, so that whenever Ezekiel saw the valley of dry bones, he didn't just see like a human skeleton lying there. He saw bones that had been scattered. It was a divided church, if you will. Is it possible for churches to be divided? Absolutely possible for churches to be divided. As a matter of fact, whenever you read your Bible, one of the churches in the Bible is called the church at Corinth. And the church at Corinth was a divided church. Of all things, it was divided over preachers, over personalities of the preachers. And many of you have heard the stories, or maybe have even experienced being in a divided church. Oh, listen, a divided church is a terrible thing. And I will say to you today, nobody wants to join a divided church. I heard the story years ago of a pastor who went to preach at a prospective church in view of a call. He got up on Sunday morning, he preached his message to that church, and he noticed whenever he preached that the church was divided. He said there was a group of people who sat over here, and there was a group of people who sat over there. And these people didn't talk to those people. They never crossed the aisle. They never shook hands. He said it was a divided church. After the service, he went to one of the men of the church, and he said, sir, he said, I notice this is a divided church. Can you tell me why is the church divided? He said, I certainly can. He said, years ago, we were having an all-church fellowship at the close of the service on Sunday night. And we had two ladies in the church who were well known for making homemade donuts. And at the fellowship that night, we were going to have homemade donuts. And so all the church came together after the service. We went back to the fellowship hall. The donuts were out. And he said, one of the ladies had made chocolate-covered donuts. And so whenever the church family came together, they went through the fellowship hall, they went through the line, and you know what they did. They all took those chocolate-covered donuts, And they didn't take so many of the other donuts. And so when the fellowship was over and everybody had gone home, those two ladies were standing back there in the fellowship hall. And one lady looked to the other lady and said, "You did that on purpose." She said, "I did what on purpose?" She said, "You put chocolate on your donuts because you knew they would take all of your donuts and they wouldn't eat mine." So those two ladies back in the kitchen of the fellowship hall, he said, they got crossways with one another over chocolate-covered donuts. You know what happened? Those two ladies went home. One told her husband, she told her husband, they told their friends, they told their friends. And for all those years, the church was divided over chocolate-covered donuts. Now, we can laugh at that, but I want to tell you this. Most of the time, churches get divided over things that really don't matter about anything. Churches oftentimes, they don't get divided over building a $3 million plant. They get divided over where we're going to set a $30 plant on the platform. We get divided over little things. It is a divided church. I'm going to tell you, it's an awful thing to have a divided church. If there ought to be unity anywhere on the planet, it ought to be in the church of Jesus Christ. Why should the church be united? I'm going to tell you, friend, because we've been saved by the same Jesus Christ. We've been indwelt by the same sweet Holy Spirit. We are guided by the same scriptures that we read. We ought to sing like the old songwriter who said, "Like a mighty army moves the church of God. Brethren, we are treading where the saints have trod." Do you remember this part? "We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine, one in charity." Oh, the Drybone Valley Baptist Church not only was a dead church, it was a divided church. May I say one other thing quickly to you about this church? Describing the church, the Bible also says it was a dry church. Ezekiel saw a valley full of bones. And you notice the report there in verse 2. The Bible says whenever he saw them, he reported and said, "And lo, they were very dry." They weren't just dry. They were very dry. They've been dry evidently for a long, long time. I'll say this to you today, and I don't have a long time to talk about this, but I will say this to you today, that a dry church cannot help a thirsty soul. A dry church cannot satisfy somebody who's looking for the living water. I remember whenever I was preaching through the book of Acts, we were over in the Family Life Center whenever we were remodeling this building. And some of you may recall, I preached a message that I called "A Lame Man at a Crippled Church." Acts chapter 3 talks about the crippled man who was brought there to the beautiful gate. And the Bible talks about evidently people walking by every day. And that church could not help him. A lame man at a crippled church. He was like a thirsty soul, and his thirst was not being quenched. I also remember that in Acts chapter 8, the Bible says Philip joined himself to a man from Ethiopia. But you remember where the man from Ethiopia had been? He had been to Jerusalem to worship God. He was on his way back home, and he was still sitting there reading the prophet Isaiah because he went to church, but he didn't get the right answer. Oh, I'm going to tell you this. Sometimes it breaks my heart to think that somebody would come into this building with a thirsty soul, with a hurting heart, and nobody here preached the gospel of Jesus Christ so that their thirst might be filled. I don't want our church to be a dry church. Years ago, I heard about a church building that burned to the ground. And in my heart, I wondered if maybe the fire started in the pastor's study where all those dry sermons were that he oftentimes preached. What makes a dry church? Let me give you some suggestions. I'll tell you what makes a dry church. Number one is dry preaching. I think too many preachers are preparing little sermonettes for all the little Christianettes who come to church on Sunday morning. I think too many are getting ready a Saturday night special so that they can get up and warm it up on Sunday morning and preach the Word of God. I tell you what, if a pastor is not in the Word of God, studying the Word of God, preparing the Word of God, every time he comes to the pulpit on Sunday morning, that sermon will always be dry, it'll always be dull, it will always be boring. Dry preaching will cause a dead church. I want to tell you, dry singing will cause it as well. There are sometimes we need to be careful that the songs that we sing, they need to talk about Jesus. They need to talk about the cross. They need to talk about the blood. I don't care how catchy the tune is. I don't care how clever the lyrics are. If they does not talk about Jesus Christ, it is a dry song. I'll tell you what else causes a dead church. Not only dry preaching, not only dry singing, but dry worship. And sometimes, folks, in our Baptist churches, and sometimes in Westside Baptist Church, I want to ask the question, what happened to the Amen Corner? What happened to the Shouting Baptist? I want to tell you that this preacher likes a little feedback from time to time. It helps me whenever I'm preaching the Word of God. I've said a long time ago, I'd rather come to a church and be a part of the happy clappy than to be a part of the frozen chosen. So the Bible says that dead, the Drybone Valley Baptist Church, the description of it, it was a dead church. It was a divided church. It was a dry church. Secondly, notice this, the dilemma of the church. Look at verse 3. The Bible says two things here. Number one, what was asked? The Lord asked Ezekiel, showed him these dry bones. He said, can these bones live? Now, before you jump to conclusions there, think about that for just a moment. You're looking at a valley of dry bones. They're dead. They're divided. They're dry. Can they live again? Can they be restored? Can they be revived? Can they be resurrected? It's a good question. You know this to be true. Most of the time, dead things stay dead, right? That's the way it is. As a matter of fact, if in fact there is life, that's the exception and not the rule. Elijah, the Bible says, raised a widow's son to life, but that was the exception. The Bible says that Jesus raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. He also raised Lazarus from the dead, but that was the exception. So whenever he asks them the question, can these bones live again? I mean, you're standing there looking at it, you're thinking, well, if there's a resurrection of those dry bones, then it will be the exception. It will not be the rule. Notice what was answered also in verse 3. Look at what Ezekiel said. Ezekiel said, O Lord, thou knowest. Can I translate that for you? I think he was saying, Lord, if they can be resurrected, only you can do it. Only you can do it. Lord, thou knowest. I think what Ezekiel was saying was, I can't do it. Now think about Ezekiel. Number one, the Bible says in chapter 1 of his book that he was a priest. A priest was somebody who represented the people to God. Ezekiel was a guy who led in the worship service. He prepared the sacrifices probably. He burned the incense. He got everything ready. He was a priest. Chapter 2, the Bible says that God called him to be a prophet. A prophet is somebody who represents God to the people. So now he becomes a prophet of God. As a matter of fact, if you know the rest of the book of Ezekiel, you know that he preached some powerful sermons in his day. He was a mighty man. But here's old Ezekiel who was saying, in spite of the fact I'm a priest, in spite of the fact that I'm a prophet, I can't do that. I can't cause these bones to live again. And Ezekiel was saying, God, if they're going to live again, you will have to do it. And God can do it. Have you read the book? There's nothing that's impossible with God. He can do anything. Resurrection, restoration, revival. It all comes from God. You remember what the Bible says over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, whenever God said, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal the land. That is, God was saying, I am the one who's going to do it. The psalmist said in chapter 85 and verse 6, he cried out and he said, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? I want to say this to you today. In a Drybone Valley Baptist church, if revival ever comes to the Drybone Valley church, it will not be worked up. It will always be prayed down. It does not come from man. It always comes from God. If revival ever comes, it will come from God. That's why we sing songs like this. Set my soul afire, Lord. Set my soul afire. That's why we sing, coming now to thee, O Christ my Lord, trusting only in thy precious word. Let my humble prayer to thee be heard and send a great revival in my soul. That's why we sing, Lord, send a revival and let it begin in me. If revival ever comes to the Drybone Valley Church, it will come from God. It will come and land upon God's people. And by the way, I think it was Leonard Ravenhill who one time said, revival fires are more likely to fall where they will catch and spread. God's not going to send a revival for Westside Baptist Church or the Drybone Valley Baptist Church to consume it upon ourselves. God sends revival where it will catch and it will spread. Thirdly, notice this. The declaration to the church. I like this, verses 4 through 6. God told Ezekiel to go preach to a valley of dry bones. I've been preaching for over 50 years. And I will tell you, I've preached to some dead crowds. I've preached to some lifeless churches. I mean, I've been in some churches that were so cold, you could ice skate up and down the aisles, I think. Dead, lifeless churches. But I've never preached anything like this. The Bible says he was told to go and preach to a valley of dry bones. I heard about one pastor years ago that he used to prepare his sermons. They evidently had some cattle on the side. He would go out in the pasture and he'd practice his sermon on the cattle. He'd stand up there and preach. I've tried to imagine that, have you? He was down there preaching to his cattle, and those old cattle look at him. And you know how cows do, just chewing their cud, right? And he'd just preach away, preaching that sermon. And all the cattle said, moo. But I don't know how you preach to a valley full of dry bones. What do you preach at the Drybone Valley Baptist Church? Three things here. Number one, notice this. He preached the word. Ezekiel's words were actually God's words. Verse 4, he said, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, he said, thus saith the Lord God. That is, whenever Ezekiel stood up to preach, he wasn't preaching his word, he was preaching God's word. He wasn't preaching what he saw on the evening news, he wasn't preaching what he read on the internet, and he wasn't preaching some podcast that he had heard somebody else give. He was preaching the word of God. I think that's why whenever Paul wrote to a young preacher boy by the name of Timothy, he said to Timothy before he was writing his last will and testimony, he said, Timothy, preach the word. Preach the word of God. He didn't say, preach about the word. Listen to me today. He didn't say, preach a word based on the word of God. Every once in a while, I'll go to some other church. I'll read some website, and it'll say, our pastor preaches messages based on the word of God. The Bible didn't tell us to preach sermons based on the word of God. The Bible said, preach the word of God. Just preach the book and let the book take its effect on people's life. And by the way, every pastor ought to come to the pulpit with a Bible in their hand and with God's word on their heart, and they need to come to their congregation and serve them a 7-course meal from the word of God. The Bible, listen, the Bible doesn't need to be propped up with technology. It doesn't need to be propped up with entertainment. The Bible doesn't need to go along with the so-called TED Talks of our world that if you can't say it in 18 minutes, you might as well shut up and sit down. Listen, there's two things I think our world fails to understand. Number one is the power of this book. It's different than any other book you'll ever read. And number two is the power of the Holy Spirit to move up and down rows and touch people's hearts and draw people to Jesus Christ. The Bible says he preached the word of God. Secondly, notice this. He preached the truth. By the way, if you're going to preach the word of God, you will preach the truth. There's no other way to do it. Look what he said. He said, oh, ye dry bones. Can you imagine this? Preaching to a valley of dry bones. Oh, ye dry bones. I remember my wife, whenever she was just a little girl, she used to have church with her dolls. She'd go into her bed. She set all of her dolls up in a row in her bedroom when she was a little girl, and she'd preach to those dolls. I think Barbie got saved one time, and she baptized her. I don't know. But he's preaching to bones, and he said, "Oh, ye dry bones." He didn't soft pedal the message. I mean, Ezekiel wasn't one of those guys who just looked down there and said, Now, when God calls you dry bones, he doesn't really mean dry bones. In the original Hebrew, that it just means that you're lacking in moisture. He said, "You're dry bones." He preached the truth. I'm going to tell you what, if there's something that our world desperately needs today from pulpits like this all across this country, they need to hear the truth of God's word. And the Bible tells us that we ought to preach the truth. We ought to preach it in love, but we ought to always preach the truth. And by the way, one of the greatest compliments that anybody will ever give to their pastor is whenever somebody comes to the pastor and says, "I want to thank you for preaching the truth from the Word of God." He preached the Word. The Bible says he preached truth. I'm asking you the question today, what do you preach at the Drybone Valley Baptist Church? Third thing he preached, life. And you get this? He preached life to a dead crowd. Ezekiel said, he's speaking from God's word, he said, "I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live." So here he is preaching life to the dead crowd. And what's he saying? Maybe he's preaching John 11, 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Maybe he's preaching from John 14, verse 6 and said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." What do you preach at a dead crowd? You preach life to a dead Drybone Valley Baptist Church. What are you singing at the Drybone Valley Baptist Church? Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see. Wonderful words of life. And the Bible says there he was preaching the word of God to a dead crowd, the Drybone Valley Baptist Church. I want to say this to you today, that whenever it doesn't matter what church I go to. It can be a dead church. It can be a live church. I'm going to tell you this. This is what I'm going to preach. I'm going to preach the word. I'm going to preach truth. And I'm going to preach life. And Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. One last thing. Look at verses 7 through 10. It tells us the dynamic at the church. Notice what happens. The Bible says while he's preaching, the scripture says there was a noise. Praise God for the noise. There was a noise. I don't know. The dry bones began to hit together. The dry bones began to rattle. There was a noise going there in the house of God. I'm going to tell you, whenever we come to worship, listen to me, church. When we come to worship, you need to remember this. Worship is a celebration of Jesus Christ. And it's all right for us to sing. It's all right for us to clap. It's all right for us to say amen. Amen. There's nothing in the Constitution and the bylaws of Westside Baptist Church that says you cannot clap in church. There's nothing in our Constitution and bylaw that says you cannot say amen in church. There was a noise in the church of God. Some little boy asked me one time, said, "Why do you yell so much whenever you preach?" I said, "Man, it's because whenever the mud is thin, you got to sling it hard and make it stick." I like the noise. If you came to church to sleep, you should have stayed home. The Bible says there was a noise. The Bible says there was a shaking. Whenever God shows up, he shakes things up. And the Bible says whenever he began to preach, all of a sudden there was a shaking that was going on. As a matter of fact, I'm also reminded that the Bible tells us that whenever Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, the Bible says those who were there guarding the grave, you remember that on Easter Sunday morning, the Bible says they were shaking there in Matthew chapter 28. The Bible says over in the book of Acts that whenever Paul and Silas were cast into prison and at midnight they prayed and sang praises unto God, the Bible says that God heard them and God began to shake that prison cell. Whenever God shows up, God shakes things up. And I have to sometimes pray, God, shake things up at Westside Baptist Church. God, make some noise at Westside Baptist Church. Whenever God shows up, things begin to happen. Not only was there a shaking, not only was there noise, thirdly, notice this, there was a revival. You're familiar with this, right? The Bible says the bones came together. Now, remember my description of the church? It was a divided church. And so when the bones came together, that cured their division. And whenever you read the Bible, I think of this, the toe bone connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone connected to the heel bone. Now, if you're under 40, you're probably not even understanding what I'm saying right now. But the Bible says that church began to come together. The division was no longer a problem. The Bible also says that the bones were covered with sinew. Whenever the bones were covered with sinew, that is, he's putting the flesh on now. That covers up the dryness. The dry problem in the Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church is now gone. And then thirdly, the Bible says that those bones came to life. That cured the deadness. You see what God's doing to a dead, divided, dry church? God's bringing unity. God's bringing his Spirit, God's bringing life, and the Bible says now that not only were they brought back to life, but the Bible says they stood up as a mighty army. I like that picture, do you not? I mean, they stood up as a mighty army. What were they singing there at the Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church now? I think they were probably singing, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss. From victory unto victory, his army shall he lead till every foe is vanquished and Christ is Lord indeed. And they stood up as a mighty army. Here's my challenge to us today. My dear friend, you need to stand up for Jesus Christ. Stand up on the workplace for Jesus. Stand up at the schoolhouse for Jesus. Stand up in the marketplace for Jesus. Wherever you go, take your stand for Jesus Christ. I want you, what happened to Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church? They had a revival, is what they had at the Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church. Let me ask you a question. Does God need to shake some things up in your life? Have you kind of gotten cold, complacent, dead? You used to talk about Jesus to other people, but you haven't told anybody about Jesus in a long, long time. You used to invite people to come to church, but you haven't invited anybody to church in a long, long time. And you're saying, oh, Pastor, COVID, quit using that as an excuse. People are dying without Jesus every day. And we need to tell them about Christ. You used to sing in the choir. You don't sing anymore. You used to come on Wednesday night. But you don't come anymore. Or maybe you come, but your wife stays home. Does God need to shake some things up in your life today? Does God need to make some noise in your life today? Do you need revival in your heart? Do you need God's Spirit to so grab a hold of you today that you will stand up to be a part of His mighty army and be a part of the army of God today that's going to shake this world for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, they had a revival at the Dry Bone Valley Baptist Church. I pray there'll be a revival at Westside Baptist Church. Would you pray with me, please? In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to sing. There are some of you in this room today that you need to make the very best decision that you'll ever make. You need to make the same decision that I made when I was a 7-year-old boy. You need to decide today to give your life to Jesus Christ. There are some of you in this room today that God has spoken to your heart about something. I don't know what it is, about something in your life. There are some of you today that God's Holy Spirit is working on you. I don't know what God wants you to do today, but I'm convinced that you do. For some of you, whenever we stand to sing here in just a moment, you ought to come to this altar and just fall on your face before God and say, God, forgive me, stir me, revive me, make me stand up once again like that mighty army. There's some of you in this room today, whenever we stand to sing, you need to come and say, I want to give my heart to Jesus Christ. There's some of you in this room today that maybe you ought to come today and say, I want to become a part of this fellowship so that I can grow and serve and be everything that God wants me to be. This is God's time. Let Him have His way in your life, please. Father, we thank You today. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for Your sweet Holy Spirit. Lord, in this room today and watching online, there may be folks that You've spoken to in a very strong way. And God, You've told them what You want them to do. And Lord, I pray the only answer you're going to hear today is yes. All across this room and wherever people are watching and listening, I pray that people will say yes. Lord, stir our church. God, send a great revival. Lord, please have Your way this morning. May we take advantage of the opportunity to yield ourselves to Your sweet Holy Spirit today. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.